When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
We're on this morning with Don Lloyd, the Senior Vice President, Manager of Capital Markets, the Foreign Exchange and Commodity Derivatives at Associated Bank. Don, welcome back. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Good to be back.
I want to focus our conversation this morning on the economic status of the globe. The International Monetary Fund earlier in the week said that policymakers need to move carefully forward, that they need to continue to provide economic support without promoting instability in financial markets. Can you dissect that for us?
Sure. This is their twice a year report, the economic outlook that the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, provides publicly. It usually comes out in April and October. October one was just released. As you probably know, the IMF is composed of 190 countries that are member countries that basically work together to foster global cooperation and facilitate international trade. Specifically, they do not lend money to individual products or projects. The IMF doesn't lend money to individual projects. What they do is that they work with countries to basically tackle their trade imbalances, if any, to address stability in economics and promote full employment. That's their primary goal. And twice a year, they come out with their economic outlook, and they've just come out with one. And it really focuses on two things, Steve. It focuses on the economic outlook for the globe, and it focuses on inflation for the globe. And it's pretty interesting. They've revised their global economic outlook down to 5.9% for 2021. Now, that's down from 6%, which seems like a small decrease. But if you look at it on a global nature, it's pretty large, to be honest with you. For 2022, their economic outlook for the globe is down to 4.9%, which is about, it accounts for about $5.3 trillion of economic decline over a 10-year period of time. So when you look at it, the economic side of it, they're sort of saying, the globe is doing pretty well right now, but the forecast is looking to go down. So that's sort of where it is on the economic front.
The IMF, they singled out a couple of different things, and they said that there were a couple of warning signs of instability. They talked about non-banks like life insurance funds. And then, as you mentioned, too, they've also talked about inflation, which we know in the U.S. is climbing again this month.
Yep, certainly inflation has reared its head, at least temporarily. When you look at real rates of return, which are basically where interest rates are and what you can earn on, say, investments versus inflation, real rates of return are negative right now, which sort of indicates that either inflationary figures have to begin to decline somewhat, or real rates of return need to go up. The rates that you earn on investment needs to go up, or it really makes not a very healthy investment outlook. And, why would you earn 1% when inflation is running at 4%, for example? So they're taking a look at the inflation, certainly driven by commodity prices, by supply chain constraints, and that's got inflation, up pretty high. CPI came out this week. It was showing, pretty hot inflationary numbers. And the question is what is the Fed going to do about it? When will tapering begin? How quickly will tapering advance? And all of that is sort of, pushed into this whole melting pot called foreign exchange and sort of swirled around in the cauldron to see what's going to come out, and where the hot money is going to flow, where investment money will flow, which is the primary mover of the foreign exchange market. But you're absolutely right. The inflationary fears are out there. The IMF has noted that, but they think it's transitory. They think it's a short-term event that central banks can sort of push through before real tightening or real tapering begins.
Don, I want to get your feeling on the road ahead for the markets. There's a couple of analysts that are suggesting more volatility is coming. Talk to us a little bit about the equity markets, the future, and this volatility.
Yeah, certainly no question about it. And I think the table is set certainly for more volatility across all markets, you know, whether it's the bond market, the equity market, you know, through the foreign exchange market, commodity market, indeed. You know, I think that we are poised on the brink of some return to more of a long-term mean of volatility. And we certainly haven't seen that, you know, over the past 5 years, you know, maybe even 7 years, some can make the case, you know, where we've had a low interest rate environment. In the foreign exchange market specifically, we have seen interest rate differentials between countries be very, very narrow. Interest rates are basically sitting on top of each other. And because of that, there's not a lot of investment money that flows cross-border because real rates of return and low inflation, which we've seen over the last, you know, 7 to 10 years, have sort of dominated the markets. So the markets are very happy with having their investments sit where they are right now in the countries that they are. Now, with inflationary fears, the Fed tapering, the whole disparity between those developed countries that seem to be vaccinated with COVID and emerging somewhat from economic slump versus those developing countries that are farther behind the curve when it comes to vaccination and the fear that their economies will remain depressed somewhat, there's going to become a divergence between countries, the developed versus the developing. And when that occurs, interest rates in the developed countries will begin to push up as the economies, you know, move forward, economic growth moves forward in those countries, inflationary fears, interest rates move up, and you're going to start to see a widening of interest rate differentials between countries and certainly regions. That is going to get money moving from one country to another when it comes to investments, for example, out of the Japanese equity market into, you know, say, the European bond market or into an equity market someplace. So when these moves occur, currency exchange rates begin to move and begin to move very dramatically. And what we're sort of instructing our customers and advising our customers to do is volatility is going to be coming back. The last 5 or 7 years that you haven't really been overly concerned about foreign exchange hedging because exchange rates have been rather moderate, it's going to change. And now is the time to start thinking about hedging your currency risk because volatility is certainly coming back because of these interest rate differentials.
Don, I know you keep a very close eye on energy prices, and there's a lot of concern that higher oil, natural gas, and coal prices, when you combine that with the commodities going up and supply chain disruptions, could push the globe into a recession, the R word rearing its ugly head. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, certainly could. Absolutely, certainly could, especially if energy prices are going to be, you know, oil above $80 a barrel, the natural gas shortage that's anticipated through the winter months. You know, that is certainly going to push inflationary pressures up, which could get the Fed to begin its tapering much faster and quicker than had anticipated. You know, those are some of the questions that are out there that remain to be seen. But, you know, a full-blown recession, maybe not. You know, I think, heaven forbid, for those old enough to remember, you know, the term stagflation, you know, where you've got economic depressed going on. There's not a lot of economic growth going on, but you have inflationary pressures that are starting to spike up. The good old stagflation of the 1970s. You're seeing that word bantered around a little bit more and more than I have in the last, you know, 10 or 20 years. So stagflation, I think, is much more of a probability than a full-blown major downward recession. I don't think we're anywhere near that yet. You know, I think central banks are still on top of it. They're still ahead of the curve. The key, I think, is going to be watching the interest rate yield curve. You know, the steeper that gets, I think the more that's going to signal that inflationary pressures are real. They're going to be sustained and here to stay. But, you know, honestly, you know, I don't anticipate that steepening of that yield curve to remain where it is very, very long, to be honest with you. I think we're going to start to see a flattening again of the yield curve. But again, you know, just my opinion. It's as good as anyone else's opinion, I guess. I've been wrong as often as I've been right, but that's sort of what I'm looking for. I don't think full-blown recession yet, Steve.
Yeah, so your outlook then, let's say if you had to look a year in advance, if you care to go that far, what do you tell your clients and investors about how to play the coming months?
Yeah, from a hedging perspective, I think it's always safe to hedge. Focus on making your bicycles, not on speculating in exchange rate moves or commodity moves or interest rate movements. Go ahead and hedge that. Put that risk, mitigate that risk, put it to sleep. When it comes to you know, running your business and what the economy is going to look like, you know, there's three or four major things that are sort of driving it right now. Debt ceiling limit is probably, you know, one of the bigger ones. You know, we've kicked that can down the road, or at least Congress has, until December. We'll see if we can get through that. Tapering, how far will the Fed taper? When are they going to start tapering? The speed and rate at which they taper, especially with the inflationary fears. You know, the COVID wave, how that's impacting developed countries versus developing countries. You know, that's going to be there in the mix. And then, of course, you got, you know, the Evergrande situation over in China, you know, the real estate firm that's over there that has missed three coupon payments on their debt as of this week. You know, three coupon payments that they've missed. So, you know, that is no small thing. You know, I think they're ranked 122 out of the global Fortune 500 companies. You know, they're a very, very large company. And, you know, that's going to be thrown into the mix and continue in the mix. That's going to be a longer, slower process as they work through it. But, you know, what's going to be the contagion, you know, as they default and as they miss their coupon payments? You know, certainly the weaker property companies are being influenced by it. But can that contagion be controlled? Is it going to start moving outside of China, you know, cross-border into other property companies that are out there? So there's a lot going on, certainly volatility on the horizon. My attitude is, hedge that risk, reduce that risk, focus on what your business really is all about when it comes to bottom line, and take that risk of price volatility or interest rate volatility out of the market completely. And you do that through hedging.
Don, great conversation as always. How can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Sure. I'm available all days at 1-866-524-8836. That is the number of our trading desk, and one of several people can pick up. Just ask for me, and I'll pop right on.
All right, Don. Thank you. We'll see you next time.
Great. Thanks, Steve.